Can you hear me? Is it on? Can you hear me? Okay. God, I shouldn't have ate candy before I came up here. So, this will be pretty easy. I should be just sitting down there with you guys. We're going to go into Daniel 7. And it's amazing what you find in the Old Testament, that the Bible just shares everywhere the same things. It's just amazing how much it does it, you know. It just blows me away sometimes. But I know God's word, so. Yes? Right. Most likely, yes. And then they're just referring back. Jesus did that a lot. He talked about the Old Testament, what it said. You know, he always quoted back and forth. But what's unique about this chapter is that chapter 2, or the book of Daniel, chapter 2 through 7 is written. It lays out the Gentile history is what it does, okay? And it's written in Aramaic versus all the rest of it is written in Hebrew. So this is the only area of Daniel that little area is for the Gentile. It gives a history is what it does. So it's kind of cool. The book of While not quoting the Old Testament directly, is heavily influenced by it. And scholars estimate there are at least 500 allusions and echoes to the Old Testament concepts, events, language in the book of Revelation. So this includes themes, visions, symbolisms drawn from various Old Testament books, especially Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Psalms. So if you read those four books, you'll find a lot more of the stuff about Revelation, which is really cool. Chapter 2, you should really read on your own after this, because it'll tell a lot. And the other thing about this is chapter 2 and 7 kind of meld together, but 7 was actually before 2, so chronologically. So it's kind of hard to understand this, but that's why you should go read 2. And you should also read, if you're going to read 2, chapter 2, then go to chapter 14 and 17 of Revelation. This is funny because, you know, I did a lot of study on this, just chapter 7, and I felt like I felt like a Mayflower moving truck with the semi, you know, with another one attached. But when I got done, I felt like you go rent those U-Hauls, those little tiny ones that go behind a car, you know, that might handle like 3 pieces of luggage. That's what I feel I got out of everything, because there's so much here. There's so much. 17. And we'll talk a little bit about 17. But Daniel received a vision in chapter 7 is what we're going to be talking about. And he's talking about the vision in 7, but he actually had it earlier. So it's kind of hard, but that's why you got to read and find out how it all works out. That's why we always say be a Berean. But what we're going to do is we'll go to chapter 7 right now, and I'm just going to read through a little bit of it right now. Let me see. Also, Daniel received the vision during the first year of Belshazzar reign, and when the Babylonians still ruled the world. This is in chapter 5. And 5, 1 through 4, and he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who died 4 years earlier. Okay? And Daniel saw, well, we'll go into this. I'm going to go to Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he laid in his bed. When he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter, Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and the four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another." And I'm going to stop right there, okay? Because when he's stirring up the sea, you know, you got to think about this metaphorically, because it's not really, when we start talking about these beasts, they're not really the beasts like you're thinking. They're going to be kings. We're talking about kings and things, okay? But when he stirs up the four winds, that's like stirring up all the people. It's stirring up Babylon. It's getting them all upset. You know, it's trying to get them all going. The winds are sometimes hostile. Sometimes there are, and there's 120 references of wind in the Old and New Testament, by the way. 90 in the Old Testament and 30 in the New. When winds are stored up, there's something, it's usually something's going to happen that's hostile. Okay? So we'll get into the beast. The first one was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this, I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and the dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful, and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke into pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the 1st horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Okay. When he starts talking about the wind, first of all, it's each of the 4 compass points suggests winds from each parts of the earth. And doesn't that sound familiar? Then we just read about that in Revelation, about the 4 winds, and they held the 4 corners back. They were told to hold it all back, right? And stirring up the great sea, a symbol of chaos and potential rebellion against God. Psalms 89. Go to 89:9. I'll give you guys a second. And it says, "You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." Do you remember when Jesus even stilled them? Remember, he's in the boat, and he's asleep in the boat, and they're all on the boat, and they're freaking out a little bit and everything. And I'm paraphrasing. And then they had to wake him because he's asleep. And they, you know, he just did miracles, and yet they still didn't believe him. And then he wakes up and he calms the sea with just his voice, right? So that's one of them. And then you go to 93. Go to Psalms 93, just a little bit ahead. 3 and 4. And 3 says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." He controls everything. Which show the elements of nature is still under God's control. Even though he gives it to Satan, you know, you can have the world. He's still in control of it all. And then, as it's talking about all these animals and stuff, or these beasts and stuff, do you remember hearing about the Leviathan, right? There's the home of an evil monster such as the multi-head monster Leviathan in Psalm 74, 1 through, or 13 and 14, so you can go there. Because we think, well, beasts, you know, they're talking about these beasts. This is over the top. You know, we're not going to see anything like this. Well, they did. Because in 73, verse 13, it says, "You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters on the waters. You crushed the heads of the Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness." There you go. You think, you know, sometimes we think that doesn't happen. "Well, this stirred up the sea, produced four startling creatures, one after another, each more frightening than the preceding one," right? In verse 17, Daniel is told the four beasts are four kings who shall, and I'm talking about in chapter 7, verse 17. Daniel is told the four beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. The number four may indicate the literal number of kingdoms or kings, or it may simply describe a complete series. Most interpreters see these as representing the same kinds of kingdoms as the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dreams in chapter 2, 31 through 45. On this understanding, the lion, 7 and verse 7, 4, represents Babylon, and the wings getting plucked off represent the humbling in Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you go to chapter 2, of Daniel, and I believe it's 34. Let's see. No, I'm going to go to 46. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, 'Truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery.' Then the king gave Daniel high honors and made great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief perfect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request to the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel remained the king's court." But just before that, what happens is Nebuchadnezzar gets humbled. He realizes there's a God, and he gets humbled. that's what they're kind of talking about in 7:4, that the wings getting plucked off means it's kind of like a humbling to that beast. So Nebuchadnezzar, that's what they're kind of saying, is Nebuchadnezzar was in there. He's like represented that. The bear represents Medo-Persia, with the strong Persian component being the side that was raised up. The leopard represents Alexander the Great and his speedy conquest of the civilized world. And the four heads represent the division of his kingdom into four parts after his death. Final terrifying beast then represents the Roman Empire, and we'll get into a little bit more. So the first beast was like a lion with eagle's wings, a mixture of an animal and a bird. The beast signifies the strength and the majesty of a lion combined with the speed and power of an eagle. Both images were used by Jeremiah to depict Nebuchadnezzar, if you read Jeremiah. The beast had its wings plucked off and was transformed into a man, recalling the humbling and restoration of Nebuchadnezzar. I think it was Jeremiah, I'm going to go there, Jeremiah 4, 7 and 8. Yes. If you go to Jeremiah 4, which is just after Psalms, a little bit after Psalms. And it's 4:7 says, "A lion has gone up from his thicket. A destroyer of nations has set out. He has gone out from his place to make your land a waste. Your cities will be in ruins without inhabitant. For this, put on sackcloth, lament, and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us." As we get into 7:5, the second beast was like a bear raised up from one side, either poised and ready to spring or grotesquely deformed. Many scholars think that the raised up suggests an unequal power of the two countries combined in the Medo-Persian Empire. It had a mouth full of its ribs on its previous from its previous victim. Maybe more specifically, the people of Cyrus conquered to unify his nation. However, he was told to arise and devour even more. Three ribs could also represent the three countries that Medo-Persia conquered: Lydia, Egypt, and Babylon. They copied Egypt in 525, Babylon 539, and Lydia in 549 BC. This empire controlled the land from Egypt and the Argene Sea on the west to the Indus River on the east. It also stated that Xerxes, there you go, assembled a force of 2 million soldiers. This number also included a navy of 4,000 ships. But then they went back, and scholars have went back and said there's no way there was that many, that they could have that many because of the people that were around at that time. They think it was more like 300 to 400. But who knows? It was meaning that it was huge. It was a huge amount of people that they were able to have. That's why he went around conquering the world. The third beast was like another animal, part leopard, part bird, with four wings and four heads. It combined ferocity and speed with the ability to see all four directions at once. That'd be frightening, you know. Leopards are known for speed and keen eyesight, and they can keep hearing and allow them to stalk their prey and pounce unexpectedly. You know, they can sneak up on them pretty good. But the four wings emphasize even the more element of speed, which corresponds well to Alexander the Great conquest of the known world at the age of 32. So Alexander, he invaded Asia Minor in 334 BC, and within 10 years had conquered the whole Persian Empire. Xerxes had 2,000 or 2 million men, but he conquered them. He was able to conquer them. So after his death in 323 BC, his empire was divided among four of his generals. These four generals are symbolized by the four heads. Notice the dominion that was given to it, suggesting a higher power controlling these actions. Because he broke them up into four. When he died, he wanted each one of them to have it. That's controlling, you know, in a sense. But I think God was somehow in there too. And there's also said that Alexander the Great, even though he was so powerful and everything, at age 29, he fell on his bed crying because there was no other countries to be conquered. You heard that? Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So the fourth beast cannot be described in terms of earthly animals. It was terrifying and dreadful, exceedingly strong, with great iron teeth that devoured and crushed and trampled down whatever it did not eat. Its head had 10 horns, symbolizing at least multiplied strength. Even more surprisingly, another small horn came up among the horns, uprooting three of the others, the other 10. This horn had eyes and a mouth that spoke arrogantly. If this vision corresponds to the statue in chapter 2, then it would represent the Roman Empire and emphasize its ruthlessness. The Roman Empire was significantly different than the earlier empires. It surpassed them in power, longevity, and influence. The world had never seen anything like it before. You know, as I was reading that, it kind of gave me chills because I thought about America. You know, you think about us, and no other countries have seen what we've done, how we've done everything with the freedoms that we have and stuff, and the power we have to help all these other countries. We've we've helped a lot of other countries and longevity and influence. We have a big influence over the whole world. Whatever happens in the United States, the world reacts to it. It's kind of scary. Let's go to Hosea, which is right after Daniel. Hosea 13:5. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had glazed, they became full, and they were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Therefore they forgot me. So I am to them like a lion, like a leopard. I will lurk beside the way. I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. I will tear open the breasts, and there I will devour them like a lion, and the wild beast will rip them up open. He destroys you, O Israel, for you are against me, against your helper. Where now is your king to save you in all your cities? Where are all your rulers, those of whom you said, give me a king and princes? I have gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. Kind of cool. It just keeps going, and you keep, you know, referring back and forth. I shall ransom them from the power of Sheol. I shall redeem them from death. O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden in my eyes. Now we're going to go to Revelation 13:1. It says, I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns, 7 heads, and 10 diadems on its horns, and blasphemy names on its head. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet were like a bear, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave its power, and the throne and the great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who can fight against it? Isn't that cool? It just ties right back. You know, in 17, let's go to 17:3. That's Revelation 17:3. I'll start at verse 1, actually. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who was sealed on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have commanded sexual immorality, and with the wine of those sexual immorality. The dwellers of the earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in spirit into wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand in a cup, a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written the name of mystery, Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes, and the earth abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And we're talking about them. That's the tribulation saints, if you remember. Pretty cool stuff. But we're going to go back to Daniel now. Daniel 7, and we're going to be in verse 9. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued, and it came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked, then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over to the burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Does that sound familiar? The Son of Man is given dominion. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all peoples, nations, and languages could serve him, should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he said to me, made known to me the interpretation of these things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the king forever, forever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from the rest, exceedingly terrifying with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, which devoured and broke into pieces and stamped what was left at its feet, and about the 10 horns that was on his head, and the horn that came up before the three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke of great things and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came. The judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and then came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Think about that. That's too cool. And let me see. I think I talk about it a little bit more. Let me finish up. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and it should devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it into pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of his kingdom, 10 horns shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the former ones, and shall be put down these three kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. Do you get that? A time is a year, and times is two, and a half is a half a year. So that's 3.5 years. He's talking about the end of the time, the tribulation. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away. It will be consumed and destroyed to the end, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall have an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Isn't that cool? Immediately, he was in the spirit. That's so cool. I mean, he's seeing all this. And if you go to Revelations 4:2, we're jumping all over. Is that good? And it says, at once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And when he who sat there had appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that appeared of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, and clothed in white garments with gold crowns on their heads. And then we go to Revelation 20. 24, 20 verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been healed, beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or its image and not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Pretty cool. Well, in the last days, it says that they're going to be raised up, shadowing. This is going to happen. It's funny because Daniel, scholars thought that they didn't want to put Daniel in there, in the Bible, because he is so accurate with everything he's talked about that they thought he didn't live at that time. That he, isn't that how it went? Dave, you've heard this. And that he lived way past that, so he can look back and write it down as history. But he was lived it. He dreamt it. He was there. Yeah, God gave him the vision, and he walked with God, and he knew God. And that's so cool. So that's why the Bible is so cool, that it references back and forth. It is so neat. You know, and this is just a touch of what is going on. I mean, you can go to so many other, like I said, you know, Ezekiel's good. We can go through Ezekiel. You can go through Daniel. There's so many good references back and forth to each other, which is really neat. Really, really neat. And you could just keep going on and on and on and on. And this is just chapter 7. This is just one chapter. You know, because now it goes, you know, you can go 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 gets into really good stuff too. So I encourage you to read chapter 2 and in Daniel, and then go 14 and 17 in Revelation, and you'll see a whole cool picture. So, you guys have any questions? No? That's good. Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah. No, well, he's having a dream. You know, he had this dream. Daniel had this dream. Yeah, so he just dreamt this, but this is back before Christ. This is, you know, when he talked about his dream, he was 66 or 67. Yeah. Yes. He did. Right. Yeah. Right. And he was told to write it down. Write these things down, John was told. Which is cool, you know. And he was there seeing it firsthand. So, you know, obviously he didn't see the first three chapters, you know, because they were written to the churches. I don't think he would have understood that. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. You know, yeah, it's just cool. It's just, it's really neat. No, not that he didn't write the book, but they didn't want to put it in the Bible. It was just certain when they were trying to put the whole Bible together, the Old Testament and stuff, they were saying that he was too accurate. He was,
essentially, because one reason, one reason,
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and out of the four kings that were assigned kingdoms, or these four generals, two of those generals were arguing a lot. I think it's in chapter 12. I believe it is. They were arguing a lot, and he nailed that. He said that was going to happen. And they're like, how did you know this was going to happen? You had to be there after it happened to be able to see that. It's like, no. Nope, I saw it. So during our, if you guys have any more questions. I don't know if it was 1,000. It was more like, what was he written? Let me see. Do you have that there, Dave? There you go, 605 BC, yeah. Another question? I see someone else. Right. It is crazy. That's what's good when you take your time and read the books. You know, Isaiah does the same thing, Ezekiel, Psalms. It's just amazing. Question? No? One of the things we do during our one of the Bible studies we had. Oh, yes, Pam. Yes, you could. Yeah. One of the things we do to see how well everybody's learning the Bible